This is the Todd and Friends podcast.
I don't like to waffle on predictions. That doesn't mean I always hope I'm right.
Oh, what's he going to do? Oh, come on.
I'm with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Todd, I knew we'd agree on something here.
From the KWLM Sports Studio.
Here's Todd Brigath, and it's brought to you by Granite Bank in Spicer and Cold Spring, Equal Housing Lender, a member FDIC. Thanks to Granite Bank in Spicer and Cold Spring for jumping on board as our new sponsors of the Todd and Friends podcast. And joining us on the telephone, because he's busy playing golf somewhere, is the director of golf at Eagle Creek Golf Club, Renville County Commissioner, various other hats, officials, used to coach a lot, a dad, a sports dad. Let's bring in our buddy Greg Snow, who's been with us right from, I think, the very first episode of the Todd and Friends podcast was Greg and I. And well, Greg, what are you doing? Where are you at this morning?
Well, I'm at the Lafayette Club. I'm sure when people hear that, they maybe understand that it's on Lake Minnetonka.
Yep.
I am out of my element, Todd, as you could imagine.
I would be as well.
We kind of call it Disneyland over here.
Yeah.
You know, lots of big houses, lots of lakefront property. I've already got hey, that's the CEO of Target's house.
Oh, I see.
That, you know. That's the head of Raymond James, you know, that type of stuff that, you know, is mind-boggling to those of us who don't know that kind of money. But anyways, it's a nine-hole course on a private club. They're known for their tennis and pickleball and their social, lots of weddings here. Have you ever been to a wedding here, Todd?
I have not. No, I don't know people that would invite me to the Lafayette Club for a wedding. Not only am I not walking in those circles, nobody I know is.
How do you say that? I've only been invited to one wedding here, and I thought the same thing. I don't even know what I would appropriately wear or how to behave.
I know.
So I am definitely, I'm sitting in my car at the Lafayette Club right now, and I'm thinking to myself, Greg, don't do anything stupid in here today, okay?
All right. Do not become the center of attention in some way. Now, I know that generally you're okay with being the center of attention. Not that you seek it, but if it comes your way, you're fine with it. But that would be one place you wouldn't want that to happen.
Todd, we don't have to beat around the bush on this. We all know that I do not mind people looking to me for jokes or for making fun of somebody, because right. I will.
Yes.
But you're right. This is an area that I struggle with.
Yep.
That I sometimes need to not say anything for fear of putting your foot in your mouth. And so, yeah, I have to be careful. I'm about to walk in. Like I said, I think I'm going to get to see Mike Grimm today. I think he's on the list.
All right.
I heard he was invited, so he comes to these type of things, and we're having a media day where we're pumping up the Minnesota PGA to all of our local media.
Okay.
Trying to what we're describing is tell our story and what we're trying to do for golf in the state. You know, obviously we're tied to the National PGA as well. As many people know, this coming up this weekend is the National Club Professional Championship down in Frisco, Texas. So a lot of the club pros who have jobs like myself, this is our national championship, and the top 20 guys get into the PGA championship later this month at Valhalla. So lots of fun things happening in the Minnesota PGA. And, of course, Todd, we're golfing, which right now, last year at this time, we weren't golfing.
No.
It was still winter.
Yep. It was. I'm glad it's not this year. We did just put a cold week behind us, and this week should be a little better, but it's really April for the most part. I mean, the average temp for today is like 57, 58, so we are starting to get a little closer to those averages of 60, but looking forward to golf this week. And I know you talked about it on Friday with Lefty, and I talked about it on Wednesday with Sean Bolson. We talked extensively about the Crow Creek event that's coming up. So I know we talked about it Wednesday quite a bit and Friday quite a bit, but let's talk about it again today, just so people get a feel for it. How are you doing on registrations? I mean, you haven't announced it that long ago.
Yeah, first I want to apologize, Todd. I did not listen to you guys on Wednesday, which I should have. I thought we introduced it on Friday, so I'm sorry for that, and I hope everybody, that was my mistake. But again, yes, we've had a couple cracks at it, and Todd, we're already up over 30 entrants.
Nice.
So we only are taking 72. And somebody said, why 72? And I said, because it fits perfectly for the model that we want, which
yeah.
is six pods, 12 players a pod, if it works out as such. And then, you know, and also a limited field really makes it, I've always said this, I want people begging to play in this thing.
Yeah.
And if you fill up and say, sorry, we're full, that changes a lot of minds on, hey, maybe that's something I should be a part of. It seems like everybody wants to play.
Yeah.
So that's where we're heading with this. It is year one. If we do want to expand in future years, we may just do it. But for right now, West Central Technologies has stepped up to the plate big time, and they're sponsoring this event, and we're hoping to put on a wonderful show for them. And I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be a fun couple days. June is always iffy with the weather, but
yeah.
If we can dodge some weather, Todd, it's going to be 54 holes of awesomeness.
It doesn't matter the month. It's going to be iffy weather-wise in Minnesota. July, you could have 103 and 80% humidity and thunderstorms. So any month, we're going to be dodging that, certainly. Plus, I remember when we were getting the Pro-Am kind of up and going, a big thing that you emphasized quite a bit was pace of play. We want the pace of play to be nice so that guys aren't out there for 5-plus hours because that will drive them away. That's got to be part of your thinking here, too, I would think.
Yeah, this is tea time, so it should
shouldn't matter.
We have the right groups out front; it should help. But Todd, it's a big deal for me. I've said this about Eagle Creek, and I know it's true at other places. But yesterday, I teed off at 118, and we had a fivesome, and we got done before 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
and it's a big deal when you can play in under the allotted time, which 4 hours is generally an allotted time. And I've been a big proponent of that in the Pro-Am, and which, by the way, is August 12th.
Okay.
But anyways, I want that for our people, the players, and I want people waiting. Waiting meaning that to get into an event because they're like, hey, this isn't a 5.5 hour marathon.
Yep.
This is reasonable. And so, yes, the Crow Creek Classic is going to be under that same guise. We want to be done in 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 6 hours sounds terrible, but it's 27 holes.
Yeah.
So that's the goal,
you
know, to try to get this thing in, and we're not in a huge marathon all day out there. So we'll see how it all goes.
So I didn't play this last Saturday with the Saturday group that you put me on to the week before, which was a lot of fun. Mark Johnson and the Lindblads and you know, my dentist, Mike Gardner. You know, it's kind of funny. I showed up and I had a Diet Coke in my hand. That's not good for your teeth. Right away. That's who Mike is. He's just very funny like that. He loves to give his clients a little grief when he's around him. So that was a lot of fun. But this last Saturday was a little cold for me, so I didn't play. And I don't think they had anybody actually play this past Saturday.
Group, yeah. The whole group canceled, yep.
Yeah, yeah. But the previous Saturday, and the reason I bring this up is because you referenced a fivesome, and you played in, you know what, 3.5 hours. Well, yep. I played that Saturday in a fivesome, and we waited some for the first half a dozen, 7 holes, maybe much of the front nine. But by the time we finished, I looked at my watch, and we had played 3.5 hours. Well, 3.5 hours for a fivesome, I'll take it. That's beautiful. You're not getting that in the Twin Cities at a lot of courses.
No, I you know, with change of ownership, it's one thing I told our new owners, Chris Sauer and Chad Pendle. I said, one of the things I'm most proud of at Eagle Creek is the pace of play.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when you have a couple drivable par fours. Actually, I almost drove number 12 yesterday, so now we can easily say 3 drivable par fours with 11, 12, and 17. It's really hard to have good pace of play because you're typically waiting on those holes as if they're long par threes. And so it's something that I think is a great selling point. If those of you out there are looking for a more normal round pace, come to Eagle Creek.
Yeah.
We've got it. And yes, there's the occasional Saturday that things slow down and we have some group that loses 50 golf balls in their foursome. Yeah, that can happen. But overall, the pace of play is something I'm tremendously proud of at the club.
If there's guys losing 50 golf balls at Eagle Creek, they should have a dog along leading the way and a white cane because they are not finding golf balls very well.
No, Todd, and it's okay. We need them as well. We want them. But hole 3, 4, 5, 6, that stretch is ball eater for many players.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't cover the drive on 4. They slap three in on five. They chunk it into the crick, which when the bull rushes get up, you ain't finding your ball.
No, that's true. All right. I'll give it to you. There's a few holes out there that are ball eaters, but there's a lot that are not at Eagle Creek. Thus, the good pace of play. All right. So the Timberwolves. You know, I know what a huge Wolves fan you are. Were you able to watch the game on Saturday?
Yeah, I was playing golf at the time again. Yeah. I got some golf in this week, but I did watch it while I was playing. And Todd, I'm impressed, but I kind of forgot about the fact that I thought the Wolves would have trouble in this series, but nobody believes it until you got to watch deeper. The playoffs are officiated differently.
Yep.
And that's to the Wolves' advantage. We play a physical style of basketball. Jaden McDaniels is a grinder. N'Keal Walker, he's a grinder. And what I mean that is that they are okay with being in people's Kool-Aid. And I think that's going to frustrate the softer, more talented, better scoring guards in Beal and Booker. When somebody gets physical with them, it definitely leads to getting them off their game, and it worked. Now, do they have to figure out something to slow down Durant? Sure. If he scores 31 and the other two are in 12 and 15 point range, we're gonna actually sweep this series. I don't expect us to sweep it. That won't happen, I don't think. But if that formula happened, Todd, I think the Wolves are in really good shape moving forward. Even though I did pick Phoenix in seven, I'm ashamed to say.
You should be ashamed to say that. Why would you pick the sixth seed over the three? I can't understand it. No, you were with a lot of people. And seven.
Here's why.
I think if you're gonna take the Suns, you should say six. I don't think they're going to come into Target Center and win a game seven.
Well, they got a little more experience, Todd, and also I did the win-win scenario of if the T-Wolves win, I'm great with being wrong.
Yes.
And if Phoenix wins, then it's like, hey, I called it, right?
Yeah. Right.
So that's the easy way out. I don't pretend to be a super great prognosticator. It just it kind of gave me the win-win scenario. You know what I mean?
I guess I do. But I really thought the Wolves would win the series. I had less confidence listening to all the talking heads picking the Suns that were doing that. And based off of the three games the two teams played against each other this year. But when you looked at each of those three games, there was some kind of an anomaly going on in each game. Beal hitting 36 and 6 of 6 on threes, I knew that wasn't going to happen again. So I kind of threw that one out entirely. And then the other ones, you know, there was injuries and guys missing. I know the Suns had guys missing too. But it just seemed like there was each of the three games this year had some caveat to it that allowed the Suns to kind of look like much the better team. They didn't look like the better team on Saturday. The Timberwolves did.
Well, they did, Todd. And here's something that Magic Johnson said about the Lakers. It's not really your superstars. You know, Edwards was there. Durant was there. Your role players got to step up. And look at Na.
Yeah.
Na was one of the best players on the floor.
Yeah.
Naz Reid, like I thought, less minutes now that Kat's back. He played great. Grayson Allen, brutal. He did nothing. And he's been a wolf killer, Todd.
Yeah.
A killer.
Yep.
Like the guy's leading the league in three-point shooting. And then Joseph Nurkic, the center, he only had four rebounds. So Gobert took him right out of his game, and he did nothing. So if the stars play like stars, and if our role players, now I'm not thrilled about Anderson getting hurt. I hope he's okay because I do think we need him in this series. If the role players play great, there's no way Phoenix is beating us if we continue to play like that.
So a long-standing known fact of NBA playoffs is role players shrink on the road. They play out of their minds at home. They shrink on the road. So we'll see if that happens with the Timberwolves or not. Yes, they were carried by the bench and the role players in game one. I don't think that's a formula they can rely on once they hit the road in Phoenix. At that point, they're going to – we'll see what happens. Maybe the Timberwolves role players are cut from a different cloth, but I don't think you'll see the kind of performances last night. So that means your stars have to step up even more, I think, at that point. But Edwards was the best player on the floor all night.
Yep. Todd, were you happy with Towns' performance, or did you feel like he needs to do better?
I'm not holding his feet to the fire just yet. because it's only his fourth game back from missing 2 months with meniscus surgery. I do want to see more, but I Edwards took over. And the thing with Towns is he was fine with that. You know, he fed Edwards. Towns has really sacrificed for the team. With Gobert coming over, he's given up shots, he's given up rebounds, he's given up his position. So I'm not ready to criticize Towns for maybe not having his biggest game in game one. They didn't need him to. They won by 25.
No, I thought 19-5, I think it was, or 19-6, somewhere in there, was fine.
Yeah.
I think if we get that and get the same Rudy who was hitting free throws, Tom,
I know, right?
Hello, thank you.
He looked good.
If he continues to hit his free throws, because you know they're going to do Hacker Rudy at some point in the fourth quarter in this series.
Yep.
Somebody's going to do it because they want him off the floor. Denver deployed this strategy in the regular season, and it'll be interesting to see if Phoenix goes down that road. But, yeah, super excited for Tuesday. Of course, we got the draft coming up this week, Todd.
Right. I was
big Vikings draft, so we got a lot on our plate again.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you about that. So who do you want as the Vikings quarterback, and who do you think they'll wind up with as the quarterback?
May. I want May. I'm going to be realistic and think that the best we're going to do is four, which maybe May falls to, but it's probably JJ. I think Arizona might. I don't feel like the Patriots are going to trade with us, but I think Arizona might. And then I kind of got my eye on the Chargers as well. There's this Justin Herbert news that I'm not super thrilled about. I don't want to see us give up a ton to get him. I would give up a little to get him, but not what they're talking. Todd, Vikings aren't done. We're not going to pick at 11. Do you think we're staying at 11?
So you're kind of out in the woods right there with the whole injury to Herbert thing. That's not that widely known just yet. So he has an injury in his index finger that he played with last year. He apparently made it worse by playing with it. So they've had a surgery. It still has issues in his finger. Yep. So the rumoring that just percolated up this weekend is that it's possible that the Vikings could trade with the Chargers for Justin Herbert. And that I thought Justin Jefferson was part of that trade scenario that I saw, as well as draft picks. Is that what you saw?
I did, and I saw Darisaw.
That's
I'm
right.
You're going, no, this isn't.
Oh, it was Darisaw, not Jefferson. It was Darisaw, not Jefferson.
But Todd, I'm out. I'm a no. Don't do it.
Yeah.
But again, where do you stand on any of this Herbert stuff?
I didn't even know until this weekend. I don't know how to feel about it. I'll have to see.
Exactly.
I just don't know.
Do you feel the Vikings are
going to
move off of 11?
I think they are. I think they're going to try and trade up and get their quarterback of the future. I'm not sure it's Justin Herbert, though, but that's intriguing. If he was 100% healthy, I'd take him. Even though he hasn't quite lived up to expectations, I don't think.
I would agree with that.
But he's big. He's got a rocket launcher for an arm. He's Drake May 4 years from now. So who do you like, Drake May or Justin Herbert? Now, with Herbert, then you're already paying. He's coming up to that second contract now. So you're paying.
Uh-huh.
So that also says, no, I don't think I'd want to do it. I'd rather get somebody younger. But let's say they aren't able to get up to three. They aren't able to get up to four. So now they're at five. And the top four are gone, including McCarthy or whatever. You know, although you listen to Suhan, he's out on McCarthy. I think it's because I liked McCarthy. So now he says he wouldn't take McCarthy with your draft pick, let alone the Vikings.
Okay.
So he's not taking McCarthy at all. Everybody jumped on him after the national championship game. That's not when I jumped on McCarthy. I jumped on him during the regular season when I watched him play. But he's out on him entirely. So it's Penix and Bo Nix ahead of McCarthy. He has both of them now ahead of McCarthy on his board. I think he's nuts, but I think Jim likes to be right. So we'll see what happens with that. But
we'll see.
I think by the time it's all said and done, they wind up with J.J. McCarthy, one way or the other.
I would agree with that, unless Harbaugh's blowing smoke or not blowing smoke and really wants him.
Yeah.
Then I could see some things happening, but they got to get rid of Herbert if they're gonna draft him. So I'm going to be glued to the TV Thursday, Todd, that's for sure.
Yep. Greg, thanks so much.
Thanks, brother.
Todd and Friends podcast is brought to you by our new sponsor, Granite Bank in Spicer and Cold Spring, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Watch for future episodes of the Todd and Friends podcast at KWLM.com or on the air here at KWLM, 1340 AM and 96.3 FM.